Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Once again, in deference to our guest co-host, Tina K. Hall, I want to say good morning on the West Coast, good afternoon on the East Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, and you are listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. Our good buddy Troy Hall is doing fine and recuperating at his multi-generational home in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, the sun still shines. But filling in ably and capably is our friend from Seattle, Washington. It is Tina K. Hall. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome today. How are you?
Doing all right. If you folks can hear a little change in my voice, I am battling the effects of the common allergies, very common this time of year in Texas. But the show must go on, as Tina said. And even though the people at CUNA and the NCOA wish that I had lost my voice completely, that probably won't happen until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. So. All right.
I don't know. Maybe that's some karma coming back at you right there.
They can only hope. Hey, listen, folks, like we said, this week we got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of positive reaction to our show last week, the three things. A couple of people emailed me and said it's kind of like a conference session. Exactly. That's exactly what the show is supposed to be, a conference session that's going to give you some solid educational content without the TSA shakedown and the expensive hotel food. And so we're always happy to bring that to you. Tina, as I told you last week, when I left the show, I had to head out to a basketball tournament. People that listen to the show know that my son attends a small private school here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And this year, our basketball team, we don't have a football program at this school yet. We will next year. Our basketball is kind of our football. Big deal. And our 7th and 8th grade boys team actually won the Division II championship last Sunday for all the Lutheran schools here in the great state of Texas. So. And
worthy of applause.
And as a special treat, we actually have the coach of that team on the line with us right now. Hey, Coach Holmes, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, congratulations to you and your team. That was a big deal last Sunday. The final score, Tina, it was literally a nail-biter, 37-35. And when you hear about the result of a basketball game, you always hear the score. And you know who won and you know who lost. But, Coach, you said something last Sunday that I've been thinking about all week. So tell us, why did your team win the championship?
Well, all season long, from day one to our last practice of the year, I preached defense and free throws. And actually in the championship game, that's what won the game for us, is defense and hitting our free throws at the end of the game.
I was there. This is not it wasn't the Lakers-Celtics, but, man, it was exciting. And we were right there. Pushed up against the court. We were just a few feet from the players. And, Tina, all year long we've had a best player, the captain of our team. He's our best player. And he spent a good deal of that game on the bench in foul trouble. In fact, the team only scored 1 point in the third quarter. And it was the combined effort of the team. It was the combined effort of everybody doing all the little things that kept us in that game and ultimately helped us prevail. And I know on the show today we're going to talk about how we are one and everyone's in charge of their role and everyone's in charge of their own talents. And so, Tina, I thought you'd appreciate this little anecdote from last weekend.
Well, and I think there's so much that you can draw from sports into the corporate world, because so much of the corporate world is also about teams, teamwork, and individual contribution, paying attention to how you're showing up and working together as a unit. So that's cool.
And all week long, it's been a real joy to go into the main office there at the school and the big old trophies there. And it was a lot of fun. The kids shared those moments with their families. And anybody listening, played sports when you were a kid, these are the kind of things you remember for the rest of your life. It's a big deal. And, if sports didn't play such a big role in being applicable to business and industry, then how do you explain all these athletes that get paid thousands of dollars to go and speak at these big corporate events. And Coach Holmes, we just wanted to congratulate you here at the Radio Free Credit Union show and wish you much continued success.
Well, I truly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You have a great day.
You too.
When we come back from the break, let's talk about those three things that we're not supposed to talk about at work. And then this week, like we promised, how do you put those things into practice on the job? Be right back. Hey, if it's Friday, it's Radio Free, and you are back on the Radio Free Air with your guests. With your hot talk and with your guest co-host this week, Tina K. Hall out in Seattle, Washington. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, Tina K., let's talk about last week real quick. What were the three things that we talked about last week that we should spend more time talking about on the job?
Well, yeah, last week we talked about these are the kinds of conversations that we should be having, but we don't. And the first one was really just giving feedback and giving feedback beyond once a year. And what I was talking about last week was it really should be, if not a weekly, a daily occurrence. And then beyond that, it's also talking about the rules of engagement. We don't talk about that enough, in my opinion, in terms of just letting people know, okay, this was your job last year, now this is your job this year. Here's how the rules have changed, especially in the last couple years. That's the one thing we can count on in our movement, is that there is change. And so that involves a different kind of dialogue. And then the third thing that I brought up was just that what's going great, you know, every day. I suggested a ratio of 5-1, talking about what's going on that is really good so that we can build on our strengths and minimize our weaknesses.
And I got to tell you, the things that I thought about, and I had an opportunity to listen to the show on my drive up to the tournament. And on the way back, it's rare that I listen to a show twice in the archive, but I love the thing about when you sit down and interview somebody, you tell them straight up, look, the job you're getting tomorrow when you start may be radically different by this time next year. And
yeah,
we expect to bring this core foundation of the personality that first drew us to you, but that you can't expect that the job description that maybe you saw posted online is this static thing that never changes. And that's something I thought about all week. Because, Tina, I've been in interviews. I mean, I've been self-employed for a long time, but I've been in my share of interviews. I've never really conducted one, but nobody ever did that with me, ever.
Oh, really? Interesting. Because, you know, at Verity, my CEO, Bill Hayes, who's one of the most amazing people I've ever worked with, he talked all the time, almost at every team meeting, how important it is to be flexible. And I think that CEOs in this day and age, that's what they need. They need people who are willing to come in and go with it and just roll with what's happening economically, macro and microeconomically, and just make it come together and do it with engagement.
Well, I know that when I thought about the show last week, I started thinking about not only do I need to have this mindset for myself, because in some ways I am my own employee, and I've got to tell myself, Jason, you know, you might be doing, you know, you're doing these concerts for financial literacy this year, you're doing these cool things at live events. By this time next year, number one, someone's going to start copying you, so you're going to have to start being radically different. We talk about this all the time, myself and the musicians. We know there are other people out there that try to use music at concert events and stuff like that. And we always say, well, good, they caught up to us 3 years ago. Now we need to change and adapt, because the marketplace does radically change in a year. And so that was the thing that I really took away with me from the conversation last week, because obviously I'm interested in what you have to say, not just as the co-host of the show, but as somebody that works in this industry with you. Now this week we promised our audience, now let's talk about how do we do these things in practical application when we're at the job. So tell us, how do we actually do them when we're at work?
Okay, so I'm gonna just introduce three choices. And I've talked about this with a bunch of different groups, and just the three things that I think we need to choose every day when we walk in the door. And the choices are, I'm in charge is choice one, choice two, you're in charge. And the third choice is, we are one.
Right.
And yeah. I was going to just say, like, it's all about that, like showing up engaged in a different way.
Right. Tell me why the first one is so important.
Mm-hmm. Well, the I'm in charge. So it's really owning a whole bunch of things in that choice. I'm in charge of creating our culture, our corporate culture. I'm in charge of telling you when I think we're off track. I'm in charge of telling you even if I'm afraid of retaliation. I'm in charge of saying I'm afraid of that retaliation. I'm in charge of holding you capable of handling feedback, because if I don't, then I'm insulting your ability to handle the tough stuff. You know, I'm in charge of gossip, how much I do it, how much I don't. I'm in charge of acknowledgement. I'm in charge of creating our culture. That's really what it comes down to. Where this comes from is I see so many people who have all these great ideas, and then they hold themselves small by saying, well, who am I to say something? I'm only, you know, fill in the blank. I've only been here a year. I've only been here a month. I'm only a teller. It's like, no way, man. Our culture is made up of all of these beautiful titles, and everyone has a different perspective. You've got to choose to show up and choose to be in charge.
Well, you know, from our perspective, the way we approach this maybe metaphorically is a little different. We look at it through the prism of music, and it's kind of like if we're a band and I'm the guy playing the guitar and Tina, you're in charge of singing, that you're in charge of the singing. You know, you bring your talent that every single performance, and we witness that in our sessions. You know, Nick's in charge of the violin, Scott's in charge of the vocals and the guitar. I'm supposed to be there doing the thoughtful, insightful speaking and stuff like that. And that's why I love that when I first read it, because you are in charge. And you talked about it last week. Very few people come to work and say, man, I hope I have a really crappy day. But if you do come to work and say, I'm in charge of making my day as crappy as possible, you will probably succeed in doing that.
Well, and it's so easy. It's just so easy to talk about what's wrong. And the way I phrase it is it's easy to talk about the disease. It's harder to be part of the cure. And I think by owning it, you know, I don't have that musical connection, but I grew up as a competitive swimmer and I swam a lot. And, you know, part of that is when someone, you know, if you're running a relay and one team, one leg is weak, you've got to help support that person. And you don't need to come down on them and say, wow, you're really weak. It's saying, hey, I notice you're off. What do we need to do to help you get back on your A game? And I think the same is true in music. If your violinist isn't playing, you know, on par, you're going to give them that feedback so that as a unit, as a team, you get to this beautiful A-level performance.
Well, thankfully in our situation, I'm convinced our violinist is part robot, because the thing that irritates me about him the most, he never makes mistakes. But you just said something, again, I think maybe that's why we see things in a similar light. I, too, was a competitive swimmer. I did the 200-meter individual medley and then the team medley, where one person does the you know, the freestyle, somebody does the breaststroke, somebody goes back with the backstroke. The guy, I was never the butterfly guy. I wasn't strong enough to be the butterfly guy. I was the backstroke guy. And when you accepted that and said, okay, I own my 50 meters of swimming. If I'm not going to push myself, I'm not only directly impacting the guy that's going to jump off when I hit the wall, I'm impacting the entire team.
Well, and it's interesting because it's so much easier, I think, sometimes in sports to just accept, this is my strength. You know, I'm a backstroker. This is what I'm here to do, and I'm going to contribute this way. I think sometimes in the corporate world, we spend so much time shitting on ourselves, saying, well, I should do this. I should be a manager. I should be this, instead of just sitting in it and saying, this is my talent. This is
okay, you said shoulding on yourself. S-H-O-U-L-D.
Oh, you know, everybody, I say that in sessions, too. I'm like, S-H-O-U-L-D, not the other, what you think
like, man,
I'm
saying. My mom might be listening to All right, good. All right. That's what I thought you said. I just wanted to make sure, because my stuff is bad today. Now, what about number two? You're in charge.
You're in charge. It's the same thing. I'm going to acknowledge that you're in charge of creating our culture. You're in charge of telling me when you think I'm off track. You're in charge of saying something, even if you're a little bit afraid. You're in charge of how much you gossip. You're in charge of how you engage, and you are in charge of the positivity or the kind of culture that we create. And the flip of that is acknowledging that no matter who you are, whether you've been here a day, a year, 10 years, you have a stake in our culture, and you also have a role to play, which is to show up fully engaged.
Well, I love that point, too. And I mean, you have a lot of experience working with organizations both here in the United States and abroad. And I think once people get to work, and you probably appreciate this too, Tina, when you travel around the world, one thing you learn about people is that there are far more similarities than differences. In your opinion, we used to say at the bank when I worked at Norwest that there are two kinds of people that come to work every day, people that add value to our brand and people that take away from it. Would you say that the people that you've encountered in your professional life, what percentage are the good kind and what kind of the bad kind in most organizations based upon your experiences?
You know, that's a really hard question because I think I have kind of a unique perspective of the folks who are disengaged. So if someone's sitting across from me in my office and passionately, verbally vomiting about what's wrong with our culture, I still see that as engagement. And I see, okay, here's someone who's passionately engaged, and they wouldn't be sitting here if they didn't care. They are just choosing to do it in a really negative way. And so how can we turn it around and make it a constructive rather than a destructive process? So it's hard for me to say, you know, a culture has, you know, 10 good apples and one bad apple. I will say this. The one bad apple has the potential to completely take down the culture. And so it's really important for everyone to engage in that.
I would absolutely agree. Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about this third item that says, we are one. Because if you listen to the show, you always hear me saying that I don't believe that the credit union marketplace is this one consolidated whole. But it might surprise you that I don't apply that same thought to individual organizations, brands, and businesses. And we'll talk to Tina about point number three when we come back from this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
Man, I think that little Adam Ant Bun had a bigger impact on me than all this Ricola I've been taking all morning.
I know.
Gina.
I love that song. I love that it's in there. Yeah, how can you not just enjoy
it? You start moving.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Hey, the third point, and this is the one that when I was reading through when we did our pre-show call yesterday, this is the one that caught my attention. We are one.
We are one. We are one team. Yeah, we're one team. We're our passion for results is the sum total of our titles. That's how I would phrase it.
Well,
because
time out. You better
that.
Say that again because people thinking what I'm thinking right now. Okay, wait a minute. Say that again.
Our passion for hold on. What did I say? So our passion for results is the sum total of our titles.
Wow.
So, you know, therefore, we're not going to wait for our CEO, our manager, our VP, or some other person in charge to fix it. Waiting for someone else to go first means that we hold ourselves incapable of greatness. And
now, you know, I'll tell you right up front. The studio audience is made up primarily of college-age gentlemen who have seen your videos. They're just sucking up now, but they love you. They love everything that you're saying on this. That is just absolutely so true. How do credit unions accomplish this? Making everybody understand that we're all involved in making the member, and I hate that word too. I would rather call them owners. That's what they are. Mm. How do we make the owners feel like they're the owners when they drive in, when they walk up, when they pick up the phone today and press zero? How do credit unions do it, Tina?
Well, I think it's two things. One, it's talking about this consciously and consistently. So it's giving as much consciousness to culture as we give to other strategic goals like, you know, ROA or quality service, NPS, any other acronym. You know, it's looking at that and talking about it. And I've seen other organizations that do it and say, look, we've been off track. We're getting back on track. I want to hear your opinion. I want to have you engaged. And when I say I, that means the teller is saying that and the CEO is saying it. It's not limited to just some management team mandate, I think is one. And then I think, too, culture is a result of the choices we make every day over time. And so it's every day rechecking and going, okay, how am I in living this attitude of we are one? You know, am I holding people small or am I holding them capable of greatness? And a lot of choices and decisions can come from that. And really, all it is every day is making a choice to engage in a way that supports team as an ideal worth striving for.
Wow. Well, folks, you are listening to our guest co-host, Tina K. Hall, and she is dropping some MBA street cred information on you guys and how we run our organizations. And Tina, I agree with you. I said it last week. Put down the marketing report. Put down the, you know, all those things, if you do things the right way, are going to take care of themselves. You look at the great organizations in our country that have survived. Southwest Airlines, they were employee first. They executed their business plan next. And the two were inextricably linked. And I think what you're talking about is we cannot expect this passionate transformation of this interaction with our member, our owner, be it online, on the phone, or in person, unless we have people top to bottom, CEO to teller, first day on the job, who are passionately engaged in what they're doing.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's, I think most people want that. That's why we read all the case studies about, you know, what is Zappos doing? What is Southwest doing? You know, like we engage in that because there's something very just tantalizing about that and we want it. And then the disconnect I see is there are a whole bunch of people who want it and really, really want that, and then they wait for someone else to go first.
Well, let me ask you this. You've got a lot of development and strategic planning moxie in the things that you say, and I hope you get out there and speak at every doggone credit union conference that they have over the next few years. Is it good to be very, very prayerful about your job and your talent?
Is it good to be – I'm sorry, I missed the word. Is it good to be,
you know, to be proud of it, to be prideful?
Oh, prideful. Yeah, you know, I think so. When I was at Verity, I mean, we would brag all the time about, hey, we just got another Best Place to Work award. We just made this list again. You know, we did that. And what it's the same thing as at the start of the show, this basketball team that won – a championship. You know, there's this pride in we are winners. We are rocking it. Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to take another quick break and we come back. The reason I asked about the pride question is just so you know, our violinist listened to the show. And when he heard you say the thing about the mistake, naturally he called right in. So we'll check with him and see what he's got going on. He and I are heading up to Salt Lake City next week to meet with Mountain America Credit Union. He's got some exciting stuff going on. And apparently he's a big fan too. And we'll talk to him right after this. You're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free with about 6 minutes left to go in the show. Tina, I know people are going to forward this show to other people because I have been a speaker in the credit union world for many years, and I've sat through my share of sessions, and I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. I'm not trying to talk badly about any of the speakers, but there's a lot of stuff out there about numbers and ROA. There's not enough stuff out there about culture. There's just not.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think we all have the same struggles. Right now, we all want loan growth and we all want market share and we all want our delinquency to go down. And we all want those results, and it's going to be our teams that get those results. So I think both discussions are incredibly relevant and incredibly important.
Well, I agree. Well, listen, while we were talking, as usual, our violinist Nike sent me a text message that I cannot repeat on the air, but he's joining us now. Hey, from Allentown, PA. Hey, Nike, how are you?
How's it going?
Say hello to Tina K. Hall out in Seattle.
Tina, how you doing? I miss Seattle. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
Tina, just so you know, myself and the musicians have had one of our best shows ever in Seattle, and our biggest show ever in Bellevue, Washington. So we've got good vibe from the great state of Washington.
Cool.
Hey, Nike, tell us, you've got some big things going on. You're going out with me. We're going to put our instruments down for a couple of days and be business guys going up to Salt Lake City and talking to Mountain America Credit Union about some pretty exciting things involving music and your ability to produce music and write music. But you're also on a big tour right now. Tell us about it real quick.
That's right. We're going up to Utah to talk about our product, AdTrax, and then AdTrax has helped sponsor the tour that I'm heading out to. Actually, I have a performance today in Harrisburg, and then tomorrow I'm headed out to see our buddy Scott McKenna out in Phoenix for a couple days, and then I'm hooking up with you and then hooking up with the tour, which is the Home Sweet Home Tour, and we're going basically throughout the entire West Coast, starting basically in Phoenix and Sedona International Film Festival. We'll be up there, and then they're taking all the guys to, we're going to Vegas and up to Northern California, all the way down to L.A. and San Diego, back over, and then you and I fly out to Florida, so we're going to be all over the place. But
yeah, and I start my credit union conference season with you at Ondine Irving's Credit Card School in March. Well, listen, man, you guys be careful and take care, and I certainly look forward to seeing my good buddy from Allentown, PA, next week in Salt Lake City.
It'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
I'll talk to you soon. That's awesome. He stays very, very busy, as you can imagine, traveling around playing music everywhere. It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it, huh, Tina?
Right on. That sounds awesome. Sounds like a great job.
It is a lot of fun. I've one of the things that I learned from the musicians, and it's where we started the conversation today, and we're, in some ways, I kind of want to kind of wrap things up with a little more than 3 minutes left to go in the show, is about details. I love the stuff that you said about our culture is important. And when I think of culture, I think of culture as the sum total of many details, the personalities we bring to work, the things that we do, the energy we bring to the job every day. But the musicians taught me about the importance of details in my presentation, that my keynote slides had a uniformed appearance, that everything when we get ready to rock was ready to go in a wiretight fashion. That's probably one of the, you know, as a guy who's much older than the musicians initially, Tina, you know, you do workplace management and stuff like that. I used to kind of resent that I had to ask them questions about things. Is that kind of normal, too? Is there still kind of a generational chasm sometimes for old and younger employees? Yeah, we lost Tina. We lost Tina for just a minute, but she'll call back in. The reason I was asking about that is when you think about the context of work every day, you know, we always talk about the stratification between we want the energy coming from the CEO right on down to the teller. What I found is the third point in Tina's premise is that we're all in it together. We are absolutely in it together, and when everybody is geeked up about the same things, good things do happen. Well, anyway, we're having some technical difficulty back in Washington State, so I want to go on to the next thing that I want to talk to you all about, and that was my experience last week at the basketball tournament. I know everyone, it is not for lack of trying. Credit unions have tried to get the attention of the millennial generation. They've done their best to come up with creative ways to target those guys. And what I
to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live and talk, 646-915-9274.
Hey, Tina, you with me?
Out, and I got bumped out, and now I'm back in.
It's crazy. It was the one thing we talked about before the show, and of course it had to happen.
You know, what's funny is because I was so sure, that you were going to get cut off, and then I'm just standing in the exact same place because of, you know, karmically, I'm like, I don't want anything to happen, so, all right.
Well, there was probably about a minute of dead air there, so what we'll do is next week, I'll tell you about the basketball tournament and some of the things that I learned about the millennial generation last week. But listen, the core of the show was your discussion about those three things. I know a lot of people got a lot out of that discussion, and you know, folks, when you're using Blog Talk Radio and you're using Skype, you're sharing that line with about 30 million people. So we always stay flexible here at the Radio Free Credit Union Show.
Awesome.
Hey, listen, thank you so much. Troy will be back next week. He'll be recovered and ready to roll. And Tina, on behalf of everybody here, you've been an absolute pleasure, an absolute joy. And thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. And now I'll go back to being a listener. And thank you for the chance to engage this way. It's been fun.
All right. We'll talk to you real soon.